Two guys who love talking about a game within a game in association with Fantasy Football Scout. I'm Peterson.
I'm Ryan.
And this is FPL SideNet.
Here's Chilwell.
Martial coming in from that left and firing home. Unstoppable.
Pulisic. Giroud breaks through. Lacazette can have a pop and score a pitch.
Hey, managers, welcome back to the FPL SideNet podcast. We are recording this on Tuesday, April the 16th. And today I'm joined by a very special guest. He's the host and creator of the Football Chatbox YouTube channel, host of the Fantasy Football Scouts Scout the Game Week show, a panelist from the great FPL IQ show, and one of the admins of the Australian FPL Twitter leagues. He's not only the hardest working man in Aussie FPL content scene, but I would say globally, and just like money, this man never sleeps. Ryan, thanks for stepping in tonight with Andrew drinking cocktails by the resort pool in Queensland. What is up?
thank you, Pete. And actually, delighted to be here and talk FPL. Obviously, a very big game week coming up as well. I know Andrew is enjoying that beautiful sunshine that we get in Queensland, whereas here we are in the cold currently. But I mean, looking forward to it. I've had a coffee in the morning as well, so obviously fully caffeinated for the entire day. Been a very busy day as well. Very busy. I've already recorded a Scout the Game Week episode, then recorded a free hit draft with Quinton just before this, and now doing one with you as well. Maybe I was supposed to do a live stream. Usually I do on Tuesdays with like team selection, but I'll probably put that some other time in the week as well.
Man, you just don't stop. And you were up at like 5 this morning because I know you're watching the Chelsea Everton game because we were chatting while that game was going on. Yeah,
I know. I was basically like pre-scouting ahead of my wildcard 35.
I like it.
Yeah. My dad was calling me at like, because he's in Sri Lanka, so he's calling me, what are you doing so up early? I'm like, I'm watching a game.
Of course. It's the only reason to get up that early.
Exactly.
Well, thanks so much for joining me tonight. When Andrew told me he was going to be away on holidays, I made sure I hit you up as quickly as I could so I could get you on board. But it is, like I said, really great to have you. But so far, how's your FPL season been going? And has it been, I know your style is very similar to my style and our ranks are sort of fairly close. Has your perspective with FPL changed a bit this year with some of the challenges, or you just been embracing it all?
Well, I think the last couple of seasons have been like a very topsy-turvy, bit more harder. I think that's mainly due to the fact that the template just keeps getting like stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
And the variance because of that keeps getting higher and higher for some reason. And I don't know if it has to do with a bit more of like sometimes FOMO as well hitting, in terms of like, I feel like this season can be defined of if you kept Haaland or you sold Haaland at specific moments. And if you sold Haaland at specific moments, you did well. And if you kept Haaland, you kind of like went down. So I've basically gone through the whole millions and all of that. And I got to a point where I went, okay, this is not, I'm just going to like focus on my mini leagues, try and do something to try and claw back my mini league, because that's where I'm focusing on right now. And I've managed to climb up. I'm currently at 220k. Before the Chelsea game, I was like at about 190 something, which I was thinking, oh, it's gonna be my, like, because my best game week rank so far was basically game week one, which was 214k. I haven't beaten that since game week one, so it's been a tough season. So I was like hoping, here we are, I might actually get past that, but then Chelsea kept a clean sheet, which normally doesn't happen recently, so that happened. And then Palmer scored 4, which at this moment, because of his EO being slightly higher than 100, that also kind of affected. But overall, green arrow, another green arrow. So game week 34 coming. I'm kind of set up for it. Unfortunately, Brandt got injured, so we'll see what happens with that. But I'm okay set up for it. Let's see how it goes.
We're very similar in that. I'm doing this very similar thing where I'm just purely focusing on a couple of mini leagues. We're both in the Australian Elite 32, and I think we're both in the relegation mix at the moment, but hopefully we can stay up.
Survival of the fittest in that league.
We might be clawing over each other to
I
stay
know.
in the league.
Because of the like last few green arrows, I think I can see your name just like just slightly just there. Like the two of us are just there. As long as we stay in the top 20, we're fine.
It's pretty bunched up. So yeah, it's gonna be some nervous few weeks there. But how's your chip strategy gone this season? Has it been sort of fairly, I wouldn't say template-ish, but like has it been pretty clear cut, or did you do a few different things this season?
So I guess I triple captained when everyone else triple captained with like the Haaland thing
The
that
Haaland game
didn't
week.
really pay off per se, unfortunately. Bit of underwhelming there. Then I free hit it because I was initially on game week 29. I was like, I'm not gonna like what do you call just try and field a full 11 because that's like unnecessary amount of hits. And I free hit it in the worst game week in FPL history. And then I was looking at my team. I was like, if I just did one transfer and if I didn't free hit, and if I just did one transfer, played like seven or eight players, and the one transfer would have just been Muniz in, and I would have just been significantly better if I just did one transfer, then free hit. And I free hitted, I had Reguilon in the free hit. I was like, oh my God, things just have been like bad to us. So that free hit chip was wasted. And that's my second season running now where I've got a red arrow and a free hit. I don't know how, but it happens. So
It's the
here
same
we
for
are.
me. I think, because I did 29 as well. I think I just had like the smallest green, but last season I think I got a red on my free hit last year too. So yeah, it's definitely achievement unlocked status.
Yeah, indeed. And then I've got my wild card and bench boost left, and I was like, okay, I'm chasing mini leagues. I need to be different from the competition. And I was like, I'm just gonna play wildcard 35 and bench boost 37. Now at that time the fixtures hadn't been announced in terms of where the doubles were gonna go and all. Now it's been announced and I guess a lot of people are still on that path as well. So it's kinda looking like it's template, but I think the Twitter bubble or X bubble is a bit smaller than we think, so it might not be as template as we think as well.
I tend to agree. Like we saw there's going to be a lot of chips flying around, I think, between now and the end of the season with everyone doing different things. I mean, Andrew has three chips up his sleeve, so he's been doing something completely different altogether. But yeah, it's really horses for course. I hate it when people sort of like try and force in your face like that their strategy is the best one because they have
Oh no.
the points to prove it. But yeah, that's not true because that's what those people are doing for their side. So hopefully I'm actually on the same course as you. So wildcarding 35, bench boost 30. So I love to bench boost this game week. I just think the fixtures are much better, and I was even thinking about it again today going, okay, can I make this work? But I'd be taking like a minus eight just to get a bench working, and it doesn't feel worthwhile.
That's the thing, right? Because I've already taken like a minus eight to get to this point to like even potentially field like 10 doublers, and now Branthwaite is injured, so I'm not sure what's gonna happen with that as well. My squad wasn't set up for a bench boost 34. And the other reason was because I wanted to go into like 35, 36, 37 because the fixtures lined themselves up perfectly because Newcastle good fixtures, United with some good fixtures, Chelsea also with some good fixtures. I was like, okay, we're gonna anyway want these players in 37 and in 35 and 36 as well. So I was like, okay, just wild card and get them all in from the start itself.
I feel like the advantage of where we might be is that we'll be able to pivot like really quickly after this game week. Yeah, because there might be a lot of people out there going, okay, well, I need to get Sun back into my side if they might ha not have Sun. Whereas, yeah, we can just quickly refresh, not only get those players in, but then also move for those Newcastle players, or could be United because they've got some really good fixtures coming up as well. So, yeah, that's where the advantages might be. But speaking of United, you are a United fan.
Sadly.
Sadly, hey, they're doing better than Chelsea.
Oh, you for now. Wait till in a couple of weeks you'll overtake us.
But well, what are your thoughts about the season so far and Erik ten Hag? Like, do you actually think he's on a bit of borrowed time, or do you think he has the quality to see it through?
So with every game that passes, I tend to lose more and more faith. Unfortunately. With regards to borrowed time, I wouldn't say borrowed time per se. I feel like he's been, you could say he's been fortunate the fact that like the whole club is in disarray. We've
Yeah.
spent half the season trying to figure out even a new owner, and we only got the Ineos confirmation like somewhat recently.
Yeah.
So majority of that season was we didn't know who was going to be the new owner, whether it was Sheikh Jassim or whether it was Ineos. And now that could have had an impact in terms of the squad as well. Now, obviously, we'd like to try and differentiate football matters from business matters, but it could have an impact in terms of ability to spend on budget and players to get and all of that. Then added to that, now that Ineos is in charge and Sir Jim Ratcliffe is there, he's bringing in his own guys and his own like football people. So we've seen like the CEO has been, he's gone. We're getting this news, the guy from City, but he's not in here. He's only going to come in the start of the season.
Yeah.
And there's like a tug of war going between Newcastle to try and get Dan Ashworth. Don't know
Yeah.
where that's going to go. And apparently they're getting a technical director from Southampton,
Okay.
Wilcox.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
so there's a bit of like upper management changes happening. And I feel like that has kind of given Ten Hag, you could say he's fortunate because he's the last problem that they kind of want to deal with at the moment.
Yeah.
So he's been able to keep his job because of the fact that there's so much chaos happening upstairs. And until that chaos is sorted, I feel like they don't really want to switch a manager as well,
Yep.
because you don't want to like suddenly switch a manager while you're still trying to sort out your CEO, your technical director, your director of football. We haven't ever had a director of football since Alex left, technically speaking. So like once you get all of these people in and they go, oh, we want to play this type of style of football, or we want to implement this style of football, there's no point in like sacking the manager without knowing what exactly you want to try and play.
Yeah.
So we'll see next season whether he's still the man who's going to be in the job. I don't know. The rumors are that he might actually leave potentially, but then again, who are you going to get right now? There are rumors of Nagelsmann, but then today there were rumors that Bayern are going to replace Tuchel with Nagelsmann again.
I just saw that. Yeah, Sky are
Yeah.
sort of reporting that he's very close to going back to
Yeah,
Bayern, which
exactly.
is insane.
Yeah. And Ten Hag has like one season left in his contract as well. I
Yeah.
think you could potentially give him that final season. Because I know United's funds are also like pretty tight. So hiring another manager, you'll have to pay out him as well and all of that.
Yeah.
So you could give him one more season and see what he can do to see whether he can turn it around with a new like management above him in terms of trying to help him with like transfers and everything.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I don't know if this is possible because Alonso, Xabi Alonso is now staying at Bayer Leverkusen for one more season. The dream thing would be, okay, give him that one more season in Leverkusen and then you go and see whether you can approach him, because I think he will become a very special manager. But at the moment, there aren't any standout managers as well to go and get. So like I think the club is in limbo. No one knows what's going to happen. I don't think even Ten Hag at this point knows what exactly is going to happen to him. So we'll see how we go. I'm just like looking forward to the FA Cup at this point.
That's all we have at the moment,
Yep.
the FA
Yep.
Cup
Indeed.
semi-final
Exactly.
weekend.
Yeah. Here we go.
Oh, well, I mean, do you think there's a bit of slack to be cut to Ten Hag because of just the amount of injuries United have had to deal with this season, especially in defense?
Yeah, so you have to give him a bit of slack because obviously defense has rotated significantly. But
Yeah.
at the same time, United aren't the only club with injuries. Like every
True.
other club has also had injuries. The one problem that I have is, I guess I can't see a coaching style of pattern. Like I don't
Yeah.
know what I don't like. I look at the United team and I go, are these players really coached? Because, you see a lot of the other teams, even with injuries, even Newcastle with injuries, they've suffered injuries, but you can tell what their like style of play is. Even Chelsea, I would say you kind of have a better idea of like what Chelsea will kind of play compared to United. I'm like, I have no idea what United team is going to turn up. And like the amount of shots we keep conceding like every week is insane. Like 20 plus
Yeah.
shots every week. That's just I saw a stat where I think you know the worst derby team that had like the
Oh
lowest
yeah.
points to it.
Oh
I don't
yeah.
think even they considered that many shots so far in this. So
That were
it's just that
bad.
bad. Yeah, exactly. So it's that bad, the United season. And like you would assume that after like two or three games of this continuously happening, the manager would fix it, but it's still happening. And you're like,
Yeah.
what are you doing, man? You're considering this many shots. Do something, like fix it. But it's like, YOLO.
The crazy thing is, in all of his like post-match presses, like Ten Hag, he's always so like, it's like he's got blinkers on. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, I thought we did really good today, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, did you watch the same game that everyone else did?
Exactly. So I have no idea, because like every opponent also just looks at it and goes, oh, these guys are just conceding so many shots. Even the Chelsea game, like the Palmer's winning goal, like if you can see everyone just pointing towards Palmer, but no one taking the initiative to go and block Palmer. You're like, where is the leadership? Where is the structure of this team? So that's the thing. Like, I don't know if the team is coached. That's why I'm losing more faith. I think if we saw a style of play, I think the fans would back him more. But there's no style of play. There's no results. About 17 losses this season, could be more at the rate we're going. So I don't know.
Yeah. But who knows? It could end up finishing with a trophy.
I know, right? And you could then go and say, oh, you had a better season than Liverpool and maybe even Arsenal or City. Or like,
that's football. Oh, well, that's football. Let's talk about some FPL. So you've been doing what, FPL content now for, is this your fourth season or fifth?
So when you wrote that on the document, I had to go and actually check where I started. So I went and checked. So initially I started creating content. I did one or two FPL videos back in 2019.
Oh, yeah.
On a different channel, like my gaming channel. Well, it's been like gaming / whatever my interest is. That was the first YouTube channel I created. So it like tend to switch based on whatever that at that time I was feeling. It was FIFA, or then it switched. When I got too tired and annoyed of FIFA, I kind of switched and pivoted. Created FPL with like a few of my housemates, but then trying to get, you know how when you're a casual manager, people like tend to forget about it and then they get disinterested. So it's very hard to like try and like get people to come on and pod. And back then we were in uni, low budget, low income, so internet was also a bit crappy, so couldn't really afford to do streams and whatnot. Then I went into work, and I joined up with a friend of mine back from Sri Lanka, and then he's here as well, so I've known him for a long time, him and then a work colleague as well.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, let's start pod, because we're all playing FPL. We were like, okay, let's start podding. And we did like, that was in 2021. So there was like a 2-year gap between 2019 and 2021, COVID and whatnot happened. So 2021, we're like, okay, let's create some FPL pods weekly. We just did like a Wednesday or just like weekly one pod a week. And I would upload that on the gaming channel. It's still there, like those videos. But I also created a separate YouTube channel, which is now Football Chatbox. And I was uploading there as well. So double uploading on both sides. And then eventually I was like, in the 21-22 season, we kind of like pivoted to this channel. And I've just been like continuously now uploading on that. So went from doing, like once the internet connection improved, went from just recording and uploading to straight away doing like live streams, because I have a laptop now, but like the previous laptop I had, it wasn't meant for processing like Premiere Pro or editing videos or anything.
Just chugging away.
Yes, exactly. So now I have like a laptop that can do gaming and also and editing. I also have like a CPU right next to me that I mainly do all of my stuff on. But back then it was just like, I'm recording the night, I will put it on Premiere Pro, put it to encode, and I'll go to sleep, the laptop will be on. I'll get up in the morning, if I'm lucky, the video has finished encoding. If I'm unlucky, it has crashed and I have to do it again.
Get your morning free so you can start it all again.
Yep, exactly. So that's basically what I used to do in like that first, about that first season. And then after that, my dad was like, okay, let's get yourself a CPU. We got a CPU and everything. He owns a computer shop in Sri Lanka. So he basically like built one for me and then shipped it here to Australia. So I was like, cool.
Oh, that's handy.
Indeed.
Oh, what would we do without family? But yeah, congratulations, by the way, because I saw you just recently passed 700 subscribers as well, which is just, it's an insane number, just saying it out loud.
I know. The goal is to eventually one day get that 100K plus.
Oh, yeah. It'll come, man. It'll come.
Yeah. But the first step now would be like we pass 700, next 800, and up to 1,000. And then after that, we'll slowly continue to grow.
No, it's an amazing achievement. So yeah, I've loved your videos for so long. Like I don't I, because of just timing and stuff, I don't tend to watch a lot of like deadline stream stuff, but
Yeah,
when I
fair
do,
enough.
I'm always shooting into yours because you do videos almost every single day. And there'll be nights where I'm like folding washing. I'll be like, oh, Ryan's doing a live stream. I'll just chuck it on my laptop while I'm folding t-shirts.
Fair enough. Every view counts. Watch time, everything, I'll take it.
Yeah. I make sure the first thing I do is I hit the like button. That's the first thing I
Genius.
always do.
Great
Nah,
man.
it's really good work that you're doing. But on to Game Week 33. I want to chat
Okay.
about how your game week actually went. So I think I mentioned before, I think you got 80 points this game week.
Yes.
And a green arrow.
It was looking like a better green, like I said before, but then
Oh,
Chelsea game happened. But 80 points, I'm not going to complain. I'm now dead ending in 34. So basically in 33, we got like the whole leaks and everything.
yeah.
And it came out, and I had Pedro Porro. And I was like, I had two free transfers. I didn't know what to do. I needed to use one transfer. I didn't want to burn it. And we got leaks about Rico Lewis and Guardiola also starting. So it's like, okay, I'll pick one of them because they have a pretty good fixture, high chance of clean sheet as well. So I went Rico Lewis because it was a cheaper one. Unfortunately, Guardiola did the business. And then I know Mira has Guardiola and she's been celebrating with Guardiola's point. But I mean, I'm still okay with Rico Lewis if I need. Because now Brantford also got injured. So there might be a situation if Brantford is out completely, I might potentially even just like start Rico Lewis against Brighton, potentially because FA Cup against you guys. And then there's a high chance that Pep could rotate that game in the Brighton one. So I have Rico Lewis just in case. I don't mind it. He got into some good positions.
Yeah, he
Unfortunately,
did.
the service didn't come. Because he could have got into like goal scoring like opportunities, but he just didn't get the ball. So maybe if I do have to start him in Brighton, and if he gets into the same spots, if he starts, that is because Walker is back, I think. So if he does start, then I don't mind it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see that City lineup for the Real Madrid return leg. So I think we might be able to try and play the guessing game. Although, like you said, with the FA Cup after that as well. It's really
Yeah, it's
hard to
hard to
say, like, determine what is the strongest side for which competition. So, yeah. But anyway,
fair enough.
do you want to go through the rest of your team for the
Yeah,
listeners out there?
so I had Dubravka in goal, and Areola on the bench. I had no choice. I had to play Dubravka, and
Clean
he came away with a clean sheet. So hooray
sheet,
there,
baby.
indeed. Then I have Van Dijk, who's been an absolute disappointment since I bought him in game week 30. Liverpool for some reason haven't kept a clean sheet in like 9 games or something. I'm
Yeah,
like,
it's
what?
crazy.
It was Rico Lewis I mentioned. Reguilón, I've kept Reguilón all this time. He was on 9 points, and then I woke up in the morning and someone has stolen his bonus points. I was like, damn it. So now he's on 8 points. Salah, who's been missing every single thing at this moment. Palmer, 26 points. Saka, disappointing. Odegaard, who is currently yellow flagged for some reason, but 3 points from him. Darwin Nunez is just Darwin Nunez. You don't know what you're going to get from him. And then I've got Solanke and Haaland. And on the bench, I've got Garnacho. I benched Gabriel. Which was a big move, but I won by 2 points there. And then Branthwaite is also on the bench, but he's injured.
Yeah, and lucky Branthwaite's there sitting third on your bench with that minus one
Yes.
point.
Thank God.
You're probably thinking, like, at half time of that United game that you're maybe kicking yourself with Garnacho on your bench, but then he was substituted at half time
Yeah, he was.
anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, 4 points, man. I should have just started him over, like, Who would I would have probably just benched Darwin, if anything.
Yeah,
Because I wouldn't have
maybe.
benched any of my midfielders.
Well, on paper, your selections make sense, like because of who you had.
Yeah, probably only Darwin I would have benched if I was going to bench anyone. But like, yeah. I was initially thinking of like benching Van Dijk if I was going to make a defensive transfer. But then my deadline stream chat was like, oh, just bench Gabriel because he's not really a differential for you, and you're not going to gain anything, so take the punt. So I took the punt, so I kind of won out there.
You rolled the dice and you won. So yeah, really good game week there. Like we said, 80 points, a green arrow. So you're sitting at 220K at the moment. Now, Andrew had a really, he had a interesting game week, I should say. So he finished up with 72 points, a small red arrow. So he's dropped down to 86K. Unfortunately for him, he had Pickford in goals and he had Henderson sitting on his bench with the 9 points there. But he had the double Arsenal defense. So he got in Ben White for Kivior. So at least he was able to get some points there because White banked those clean sheet points before he was substituted. But Ait Nouri was automatically substituted for Munoz from Crystal Palace. So a little bit of bench jam there. But Andrew, he was pretty happy about that the other morning. And then, yeah, the midfield four of Luis Diaz, Saka, Salah, all getting 2 points, and Palmer with the 26. And, yeah, like yourself, front line of Darwin, Solanke, and captained Erling Haaland. So, yeah, I think that on paper, the Haaland captaincy made a lot of sense. I mean, up against Luton. And also because we sort of heard that he was going to be starting. Yeah, I think it was the right idea.
I'm a bit happy now because I was thinking about Salah.
And
I was also contemplating, like, if we didn't get Haaland news, I was thinking of selling Haaland as well. But then we got that Haaland news and I was like, okay, yeah. We also in the press conference got that Luton had like no proper fit centre backs as well. So I was like, yeah, might as well just put it on and see. I never thought about Palmer at all. Maybe should have given it a bit more thought, but I captained him the game week before and didn't really do anything. So I didn't.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. I think had he had a better performance against Sheffield United, that definitely would have swayed the thinking because we would have had like monster hauls like almost three game weeks in a row. But yeah, it wasn't to be. Now I finished up with 73 points, I had a 2,000 red arrow. So I'm down to 254K. But I had the achievement of, I made a transfer last week. So like yourself, I had two free transfers heading into game week 33. Didn't really know what to do with them. Didn't, because a lot of my squad I wanted to keep for this game week. And then I had my plans for 34. So I ended up just trying to scrape some funds from my side. So I transferred out Kaminsky and got in Ortega. Basically, I just was trying to get the cheapest goalkeeper possible to free up some funds. And I thought, oh, Ortega may start. I wasn't convinced he was going to start, but I thought, look, I'll get an Ortega. If he plays, great. If not, well, I've got Dubravka. It doesn't really matter. And watching that Newcastle Spurs game, I was sweating as we're waiting for the team sheets to drop for the City game. I was hoping Ortega was going to play. So I finally, that's my third goalkeeping clean sheet of the season. And I got it via bench jam.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like I've wasted 30 game weeks this season without a goalkeeping clean sheet.
This week, I think this season clean sheets have just been hard to come unless you just went like double Arsenal.
Yeah.
I feel like if we just like went double Arsenal from the start and didn't touch it at all, it would be so much more better.
Yeah. I'm convinced there's ghost teams out there that were set up in preseason that are doing much better than my team.
Most likely, yeah. Probably better than both of us. Yeah, definitely.
The rest of my side, yeah. Gabriel, Ait Nouri, both with zero. Gusto with the clean sheet this morning, which was great. Heung-min Son, Saka, Foden, Salah. Well, not really doing anything there, just a whole bunch of ones and twos. Palmer 26. Munoz from Fulham has been pretty disappointing since I got him in. I got a return the first week and he's really done nothing ever since then. Haaland captaincy, but bench jam second week in a row. Ollie Watkins off the bench, 7 points. So I'm pretty happy I kept hold of him. And yeah, I had to go Charlie Taylor deep on my bench for his one appearance point. So
okay.
That was it. Oh, but I was overall really happy with the game week. So, yeah, as the kids say, we move.
Indeed.
Now, one thing some things I wanted to talk to you about was the team leaks that we got. You touched on it very briefly before, but do you think that some accounts are getting a bit found out at the moment with maybe telling fibs, or do you think there's something darker at play where actually the clubs are putting out dodgy information to sort of, do you think maybe they're trying to flush out leaks at the clubs?
I think they're probably trying to flush out leaks at the club because I don't see why leakers would put false information and then just like ruin their own credibility.
Yeah.
Because like the more accurate you are, the more engagement you're going to get in future weeks as well, right? So I don't see why they would like put out false information. Now, obviously they've got caught out a couple of times. I know lazy FPL have got caught out twice now.
Yeah, a couple of times.
Yeah. And then obviously we have FPL Tony, who does the City leagues regularly. Got caught at, I think, Liverpool as well. The account was leaked and then kind of
Yes.
changed. So I think the clubs are catching on to that. So we'll see. I don't know. But now, in one way, I guess it's kind of good that they got caught out, because going forward, we'll be questioning the leagues a bit more and we won't take everything as gospel. So maybe that helps. But I mean, end of the day, I don't know what's the solution to like remove leagues per se. Because even moving the deadline closer to the first game is not going to do anything, because this City game was like the second one. So you're not going to do anything by like switching deadlines as well. So I don't really know what exactly is the solution. Do you move it like a day earlier? But then I feel like these guys are already getting City leagues like a day early anyways. So I don't know what the solution is. I think it's part of the game now, and unless the clubs themselves like go down hard on it, there's no way really to fix it. And it's only a few clubs that we get leagues for. We don't get leagues for like every other club.
No.
We could say maybe there's not much attention for it, so we don't get any leagues because of that. But then at the same time, there are some clubs that have the early kickoffs, and we know very unlikely to get anything from this as well. So yeah.
I think originally the premise of moving the deadline an hour and a half before the deadline was because, with that early fixture, I understand the way it works is that the teams have to like register their lineups, like
Yeah.
and must go via
An hour
some,
or something. So
yeah,
I think
must,
they'd give it like an hour or an hour and a half before kickoff
yeah.
to the referees, and also the journalists also get like a copy of everything. So that's how I think before the leagues used to come. And then obviously then the Premier League, what they did was they moved it the deadline an hour and a half earlier instead of the hour, because there was that extra half an hour, I think, where people got the team sheets and they were like they knew what was happening. But so that was one fix, right? But now we're getting like leaks from internal club sources to the Lakers that this is the team. So I don't know.
I think if it's the very first fixture up, it's much more easier to take those leaks as a bit more gospel. But when, like you said, like this weekend gone, the City game wasn't the early fixture. It was in the next batch after that. And so the information that was being put out was obviously different, but there was no way for anyone to actually verify it because the actual teams weren't logged in yet. Because the way I understand it is that they have to get the teams actually get uploaded, I think, onto a on some directory or something so that all the broadcasters can access that so they can do their graphics so that once the hour hits, bang, that all the you see it on the Premier League TV, they just start rolling out team sheets and stuff like that. So there's obviously a bit of a gap between that 1 hour mark and the teams registering that. And traditionally, some people had access to that and they were obviously leaking that out, which is where the advantage always was. But yeah, an hour and a half, not as
So maybe, I
concrete.
guess maybe moving the deadline a bit more earlier might reduce the leaks, but then again, at the same time, the Premier League themselves, they also want engagement. Where for them moving the deadline like a day earlier doesn't really help with the amount of clicks and everything that goes to the website. So I don't know. It's like a tough game. Everyone wants engagement these days. So it's like, where do you draw the line?
It does feel like this season that the leaks are playing a bigger part in that. You know, we've had a few scenarios this season where, you know, some leaks and information were sort of being kept. You know, there was that analytics crowd that sort of got found out a little bit telling fibs because they were actually holding on to information and yeah, sort of this spread of falsehood. I mean, there's always been people like Boona that sort of make a laugh out of it. So I mean, you can block him, but it's but I do tend to find what he does a little bit funny, but also annoying. But you know, there's a lot of people that act on that information. I know our good friend Q. I think he captained Foden after he saw that information the other day, and yeah, then you know, finding out that he's not even playing.
It's a very, I think it's part of the game now, because like even like the mini league that I'm playing in, my friend's work mini league, the guy who's on top, he last season I don't think he was aware of like Twitter leaks or anything. This season I can see like the moves he's done is just after the leak has come. Literally you can tell. So he's also on X looking at leaks, searching and waiting like to see what actually is happening. So I guess a lot of like the you would assume not they don't have like active Twitter accounts, but they're also on there looking at leaks that are coming.
It's amazing how much the game has changed. over the last couple of seasons, and especially with the Twitter X engagement. It's pretty bonkers there. All right, well, a couple of things that happened in game week 33. Probably the biggest one is that, do you think the title race just got flipped on its head? Is Manchester City in the driving seat now? Or I've seen a lot of people saying that the title race is over. A lot of people just thinking it's done, but there's so much football to be played still.
Yeah. Is the title race over? I don't know. It's hard to say, but the thing is, it's definitely advantage Manchester City just because of the depth that they have. I feel like it's like they've gone from trailing with like 2 points to a point to now leading by 2 points, which is crazy. You could actually say it's kind of done because City have the capability of just like winning every other game, like all of the games. Whereas Arsenal and Liverpool, I can definitely see potentially at least another one game that they drop points somewhere.
Yeah, same.
And if they do lose one more game, it's game over for them, effectively, I would say. So, yeah, I would say advantage Manchester City at the moment. It depends on how far they go in Europe as well. Obviously, like we said at the start, recording this before the Real Madrid game, so we don't know what's going to happen there. And then, obviously, same thing with Arsenal as well. How far will they go in Europe? Liverpool as well. I mean, I would have told you Liverpool would bottle or like throw away the second leg of their European game, but now with the title race the way it is, are they going to actually throw away that? Would they want to rather win that trophy now? I don't know. Hard to say.
Yeah, I think once we get out of these midweek European fixtures, we might have a bit of a clearer picture. But yeah, it's just crazy. Like, it's been quite a while since we've had a title race this interesting this season. I just personally, I don't feel like it's done yet. I think there's still going to be a few twists and turns, but you just wonder with City now, they're getting to this stage now where they've just got themselves in the lead, in the semi-final of the FA Cup. They could potentially be in the semi-finals of the Champions League, and it's just muscle memory. And then, you know, they've got this huge caveat that they could become the first team to just go back-to-back trebles, which is just insane.
I don't think about it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, like back-to-back trebles, they gave me the first team that won four Premier Leagues on the bounce. Yeah. I'm like, oh, it's a nightmare. I think, as a United fan, we go, here, Arsenal, we gave you an advantage. We pulled Liverpool back, and then Arsenal go, cheers, boss, and then they go and bottle it themselves the next week. I'm like, what are you doing, man? So, yeah. But then you as a Chelsea fan, you're like, oh, well, I'm going to make sure that Arsenal like get beat. Game week 34, one way or the other.
I was laughing on your show last week. You had Baker from the above average show. You guys were having a similar discussion about who you'd prefer, and obviously them, you know, Baker being big Spurs man was just, it just cannot be Arsenal. I'm very much of the same parish that it just cannot be Arsenal, and then it cannot be Liverpool either. I just know way too many Liverpool fans. They're unbearable to deal with at the best of times, all my mates. So I don't really know any City fans, so it sort of feels like the season is null and void if they just win everything.
Yeah, because like Baker was like, oh, we're going to make sure we open the gates for like Liverpool and City. And
get the goal difference up.
Yeah, exactly. Because the goal difference mattered at that point. Now City went and scored five, so I don't know if it matters too much anymore.
Yeah.
But like, they were like, we're going to open the floodgates and whatnot. But then he flipped the question on me. I was like, okay, if you had to pick between Liverpool and City, who would you go? And I was like, and Mira was in the chat, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to go with like City. I hardly know any City fans. And whereas here I know a lot of Liverpool fans, I know a lot of Arsenal fans as well, but if I would prefer Arsenal to win just because I don't want City to do four in a row and Liverpool to win like 20 titles to equal with United. But then if I had to pick between City and Liverpool, I'll always go like City. I'll just put like, oh, they have 115 charges. They cheated their way.
Yeah. It'll get struck off the records anyway in a few years' time. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So it's fine. Let them win it. Let them have the time now.
Oh, but yeah, it's like you said, like an insane weekend. We saw, Emery, he had a very good evening returning to the Emirates there. And I think a lot of Arsenal supporters were sort of with gritted teeth, waving to their former manager
hacking
on the sidelines.
Indeed. Well, to be honest, Emery is a pretty good manager.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. So he like I think Villa, even when I was watching that game, they should have scored way earlier than what they
Oh,
ended up
yeah.
scoring. Like they hit, Tielemans hit the post, Watkins hit the post. So they were a bit unfortunate. Now, obviously, at the same moment, Arsenal has had an opportunity. As soon as Watkins hit the post, Arsenal had a counter and they also had a chance to score, but they also missed that. But I think like the overall result, I'm not like I think Villa deserved it based on how they were playing.
I agree too, which is, interesting in terms of Villa's performances, because I feel like maybe a few weeks ago they sort of had plateaued a bit and their performances had started to dip. They were dropping a lot of points. But then the last few game weeks, they've sort of picked that back up, along with, I think they beat Lille
Yeah, in the
last
conference
week
league,
in the
yeah.
Conference League, and they've got them again this week, and it sort of feels like that maybe they've got like a second wind as they finish off the season. And from an FPL perspective, like one of the reasons I've kept Ollie Watkins is not just because he's already got 200 FPL points, which
Yeah.
is just crazy, and that's without any penalties. But he's also fighting for a spot in that Euro side and trying to get Villa into
Yes.
the Champions League. And yeah, it's just he seems to have rediscovered a bit more form too.
Yep, and he's going for the golden boot as well at this moment. So that's another thing to look at.
Yeah, the hotly contested Golden Boot. But someone who's definitely not going to win the Golden Boot this year is Darwin. He would have to maybe start converting more than once every 15 shots at the moment. Is he going to cost Liverpool a title? Because I don't think he's going to win them one.
You know what? If there was an award for most underperforming forward against the XG or forward who takes the most shots in Europe, Darwin will win that without any challenge. So he'll definitely be there. But is he going to cost Liverpool the title? No, I wouldn't say so because I think Darwin has just been Darwin.
Yeah.
Basically, he's been doing what Darwin does
Yeah.
every week in, week out. He is the I was talking to Q a bit earlier, and I described Darwin as the pantomime villain. For he's like a pantomime villain for FPL teams, whereas for Liverpool fans, he's like he is chaos. He's the
Yeah.
definition of chaos in a football player. He's chaos for Liverpool. He's chaos for the opponent as well. So he continues to do what he does. I think the thing that kind of hurt Liverpool was the fact that Jota was injured for quite a bit. He is
Yeah.
their best finisher, without a doubt. And then Salah has also kind of gone off the rails, not finishing as
Yeah.
much. Don't know what happened with is that to do with the injury? I don't know, not really sure. So that has played a part in there. And I think they're kind of going off steam as well. Maybe, you know, Jurgen Klopp will have to come out and do a Wall Street, I'm not leaving kind of quote or something to try and read give his team a bit more energy because it feels like they were running on that. Oh, it's his last season, and I kind of think they've run out of steam now, so they might need
Yeah.
like another thing to like boost themselves up.
Yeah, it was sort of that United fixture a couple like last
Yes,
week just sort of seemed to knock the stuffy out of them, and that I don't think anyone
I
saw
know.
that Atalanta performance
I
on the
mean,
cards.
if you play United 3 times in the season, you can't beat them even once, you don't deserve to be champions.
There you go. Said from a United fan himself, but the early fixture that we had in game week 33 was Spurs Newcastle, and we saw Spurs go full Spurs in this game. And I think my highlight from this fixture was all the Newcastle fans like singing, "They've done it again, they've done it again." The Spurs fans that traveled there, who also went last year, just must think next season I'm not going to St. James Park.
I don't know, like this the thing with Spurs now, all of us are going to be looking at Game Week 35 and be like, oh, we're going to want this Spurs player's name.
Yeah.
Like, which Spurs player do I really want? Maybe Son, but apart from him, do I really want any other Spurs player? I'm not even sure at this point. I
Yeah.
was building a wildcard draft and I was like, I had Son in there. And then I was looking, do I really want to add another Spurs player? Is it just for like appearance points? Am I adding a Spurs player at this point? I don't even know.
Yeah,
Should I just
because
go for a single game because I don't know.
looking at like the defensive assets, like yeah, you would
Yeah.
have said yeah, Porro or Udogie. Now Porro's injured. We don't know
Yeah.
when Porro's availability is. Udogie, I don't know, but they're not keeping clean sheets. We saw
No.
Mickey van der Ven doing his best breakdancing impersonations instead of stopping Isak and Gordon the other day. Yeah, just, and you know, Brennan's okay, but he's not really excited. I feel like if we had Richarlison, that would
That might change things.
That might change, but yeah, hopefully, you know. But the thing is, we're not going to see him. We're not going to see him before 35 wildcards. So,
So it's like, I don't know, and like, and all of them all midfield spots. Do I really want to go forward Timo Werner?
Yeah, I don't think so. You never want to go full Timo Werner.
I already have Darwin, and I'm enough. Like that itself is like enough of pain to deal with. Imagine that's the Timo Werner is the next level on top of that. So I don't know if I want to go there.
That's a lot of self-torture right there, I think, having both those guys in one side. But talking about forwards, Ivan Toney surprisingly benched again. And, you know, there was a lot of talk heading into game week 33 that, you know, maybe Ivan Toney might be the option with that really good fixture they had. It was, who were they playing again? I'm completely blank. Was Sheffield United?
33, Sheffield United.
Yeah, Sheffield United. And then, not in the side once again. So you wonder if it's the injuries, at the form, but it's crazy how much he's dropped off.
Has he been a naughty boy and been
gambling
on the bench? No, maybe not that, but like, because there was all this talk about, wanting to leave and all of that. So I don't know, maybe Frank is gone. I'm just going to play the people who want to be here and like,
yeah,
if you
maybe
really want to play, then commit yourself and then I'll think about playing you. Because if he wants, like, here's the thing, right? Tony would also want game time because the Euro's upcoming and he would want to be in that England squad. If he's not going to play, he's not going to get into that England squad. So, I don't know.
But then again,
maybe he's been a naughty boy.
Yeah, it's not Thomas Frank's and Brentford's best interest to play someone that A, doesn't want to be there, who they know is going to leave. So, I mean, they're not going to go down. They're not going to go up.
Yeah,
it's like play Vissa, play Mbeumo. I think Sade was back as well. So maybe they want to try and play him a bit more. But, yeah, I was a little bit surprised because Frank was saying last week that, they were saving Ivan Toney for this last run of fixtures, that it was really important. But
then he came out with a very odd quote after that, which I couldn't really understand what exactly he was trying to convey from it. But they still have good fixtures, though.
Yeah.
But from a FPL point of view, are you going to want Toney with all these benches?
It's, you know, there's no doubles either. So,
no.
I think had he played the Sheffield United game, it's a different conversation. But now there's just, I think it's just they put a line through him. There's too many question marks there. But and then, the final fixture of game week 33 was earlier this morning for us at 5 a.m. Four goal Cole Palmer. So he crazy. So him and Watkins both set the record, 208 points already this season. So, and a single game week record of 26 points for Cole Palmer. It's not very often we see someone score four goals in a game. It was insane that the fastest, I think it was the fastest perfect hat trick ever in the Premier League, left foot, header, right foot. The game seems to have been overshadowed a bit by the penalty shenanigans that we saw with Madueke and Jackson. What did you make of that?
Yeah, so I think we had a very deep conversation in the FPL Australia Twitter group with everyone with different opinions. It's a bit poor as a dressing room look. Kind of shows that the dressing room isn't fully united per se. I know Palmer came out and said, we had a laugh about it. But did you really have a laugh about it? That's just probably for the camera.
He probably laughed about it because he's the one getting the goal.
Exactly. But the others, I don't know if they are actually laughing about it because it's not the first time they've tried to like take something off Palmer. Done it before. Sterling has done it before. Sterling has done it, did it, and missed the penalty.
As well,
I remember. So I don't know. I think it's something that the problem is it's a very young squad, right? You can't really instill that's I think that's something that Poch has to kind of do, where he has to instill that discipline. The only problem is, okay, how do you instill discipline? Maybe you bench them. But the problem is, in Chelsea's case, it's very hard to bench them as well because your replacements for Jackson is Nkunku and he's injured.
Yeah.
And for Madueke, it's Sterling, and Sterling just shit in the bed, and he also is very similar character of like trying to pull penalties and pull rank and all of that. So I think maybe when you all sign a bit more like experienced players and a bit more senior players, it'll probably help improve the younger players as well. At this moment, it's like everyone's like, you know, when you get like this new kid on the block and like they're very young and they want to show themselves off, that's the kind of feeling I'm getting from like some of them, because they're like they kind of want to be the man. And currently
Yeah.
Cole Palmer is like out, like he's overshadowing all of them, so they kind of want to show their part as well. Now there was a brilliant, I think, quote from Dele Alli, where he was
Yes.
like, when it was the penalty against United, there wasn't anyone really arguing about wanting to take the penalty for that. But here, your phone is up and you're kind of fighting over wanting to get on the score sheet. I kind of understand the wanting to get on the score sheet, and giving confidence to the other players as well. But then at the same time, you kind of have to flip it, right? Palmer is the first, like the main dedicated penalty taker,
Yeah.
so he should pull rank over anyone else. And if he doesn't want to take it, maybe he discusses with Gallagher, who's the captain, and then they'll decide and give it to someone else. But we'd kind of consider, I guess you'd consider that he's also going for the golden boot.
Yeah.
Maybe the rest of the Chelsea players aren't thinking about it, but he's probably most definitely thinking about it. Because if he didn't think about it, he wouldn't have like taken that penalty. He would have given it to someone else for this. But he has it on his mind that he's going for this golden boot. So as a team, I guess you should kind of like support and try and get him that golden boot, probably. But I think it'll improve over time. They just need a bit more experienced players in the squad will help. It's a very young Chelsea team. You're going to kind of see these things. But over time, with a few more experienced players in there, or even these players just getting experienced in general,
Yeah.
they'll over outgrow their teenage childish habit.
Petulance.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I saw Pochettino came out and he said, yeah, enough's enough. Like he's talked to them all and he's told them Palmer is the penalty taker. So that should put everything to bed there. But yeah, regarding Palmer, and I think you made this point this morning in our little chat group that we're heading into double game week 34. Chelsea are away at Arsenal, no double fixture for them. And a lot of managers out there, including myself, are thinking,
Oh,
like, are
myself
we,
as well. I'm benching him.
yeah, are we actually benching like the record point scorer in FPL this season?
Just
Yeah.
now, the thing is, Everton is a different team to Arsenal, and
Yes.
I also think this. I think it's an outlier as well. I would put it because Everton aren't that bad. I feel like they had like just it's just one of those days where just things didn't go well for them, and they kind of ended up getting battered.
Yeah.
Arsenal are not that. Arsenal is very hard to score against. Like creating chances against Arsenal is not easy. They have that's one. I think they are probably the best defensive team in Europe at the moment.
Yeah.
I would say now, obviously, you have teams like Atletico Madrid who basically go, yeah, you can have the ball, man. You can do whatever you want. You're not getting past us, basically. So that's like drilled Atletico Madrid. Now, I feel like Arsenal have got to a point where they're like, we are not going to let you create any chances. And if you get the ball, we're going to press you. We're going to win it back. And we're just going to pressurize you into giving the ball back to us.
Yeah.
And I think that will play a part. Now, he could still score. I'm not putting against it because Chelsea have been getting what penalties in a row, a couple of games now.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, so it's very possible he gets another penalty and he scores. That is possible, but I have to kind of trust Arsenal's defense and believe that they will keep it to at least maybe one big chance or something,
Yeah.
because their defense this season has been on another level that I haven't seen from any Premier League side. Maybe we have to go back to Jose Mourinho with Chelsea.
Yeah,
Because I
or
don't think even City have been this good.
maybe even the City side from maybe like 2 seasons ago,
Two or three, yeah. When,
that was probably the last consistently good defensive side that we had where you needed the double up in City just to get any benefit whatsoever. I think that
So
might have been Ruben Diaz's first season in the league.
And the other thing is, I think the stats, or at least Palmer's returns, show for it themselves, right? And I think you mentioned it now, but like his home record is just impressive when he's playing at
Yeah.
home at Stamford Bridge in terms of FPL points. Away, it's been a bit more iffy, which I captained him the pre-game week before and it didn't really perform. So yeah, I think it can be taken on, especially in a week where a lot of managers are free hitting, bench boosting, not playing a chip at all.
Yeah.
I think there's enough variance for us to take it on. I guess the only place where it might impact is like head-to-head leagues where you play this random manager who has stopped playing and they have Palmer for some reason and they potentially even captained him, you know. Then yeah, that happens. But yeah, otherwise I think it should be fine this week.
Yeah, there might also be a lot of managers out there just playing through. They might have used their chips already. They're likely holding Palmer, so they're probably going to be starting him anyway. So it's an interesting one. But yeah, I sort of shot this tweet out during the game, but he's had 10 double-digit returns this season, and he didn't even really start the first five or six games. It was only, I think, game week 6 or 7 that he really broke into the side or really got given a chance. And yeah, those double-digit returns, so it's like 12, 12, 14, 18, 10, 10, 13, 15, 20, and then 26, which is for basically a player playing in really his first season in the league, because it's been nothing but sporadic substitute appearances and League Cup appearances for him. That's just insane,
I mean,
especially at his price.
have we had a player like him perform? I guess Sanchez, when he was at Arsenal, had like a massive season as well. But this is just like at this price point, I don't think we have had a player.
Yeah, I think who was it? I think FPL
Bale.
Crisis pointed out maybe someone like Mahrez in that Leicester championship winning
Maybe.
season.
Yeah, it's either that or I don't know if like Bale when he played for Spurs that start. I'm not really sure, but like I don't remember like this level impact where we go, oh, this is a brilliant enabler.
Yeah, it's like a cheat code because it's so
Yeah,
cheap.
exactly. Exactly. Now I guess the challenge for Palmer himself would be next season, where to see whether he can adapt, because we've seen Haaland first season he just killed it, where he got into a status where he was just perma cap every week. And I think maybe teams have kind of learned their ways in terms of how to handle him. Always, the second season is where teams have kind of like figured out their game. So can
They've
Palmer
spent
adapt
more
to that?
time trying to work out game plans. Yeah.
Exactly. So we'll see. We'll see. Maybe. I don't know, but he'll be way more expensive next season.
Oh, definitely. So yeah, make the most of his cheap price this season. But yeah, look, we're heading into double game week 34. We will preview the fixtures after the break soon. But just a couple of things I wanted to touch on regarding the game week with you, and that have Crystal Palace now sort of emerged as a good option for the double game week? And is it am I looking at it more a bit more romanticized after that win against Liverpool, but or are they actually decent options moving forward for the game week?
No, I think they are decent options. I think we all were looking at Palace options even when people were making game week 30, 31 wild cards. I think a lot of people were looking at the Liverpool and the City game. They're like, okay, two tough games. We kind of had to navigate. We probably won't get Palace players for that time. And then we'll get them for the double in 34. I think a lot of people were looking at that. And even when me, like when I do the podcast, we look at the last 6 game weeks defensive and attacking stats. And Palace have been there up in like the top three, top four for defensive data. So the defensive data has been solid, and what they did against Liverpool isn't really a surprise. They've been pretty good defensively. Attacking wise is where now that Eze and Olise are slowly coming back, maybe there are punctable options there. But defensively, I think they're good. So I don't think it's a oh they've kept a clean sheet against Liverpool. We need to go and invest now. No, I don't think. I think there is quality in that team.
Yeah, I think that was their first clean sheet in ages too, because I was looking at their defensive numbers heading into game week 33 when I was thinking about maybe Henderson, but you know, when I sort of saw when the last clean sheet was, I went, eh, nah.
Yeah, fair enough.
That
Well,
might have been more of a one-off.
fair
But
enough. I don't know. I'm going to get him, but we'll talk about that later.
I suppose they're playing with a bit more freedom because they're not going to go down. And we saw a similar thing last season when Roy Hodgson came, that when he came in, he steadied the ship. They weren't going down. They weren't going up. So it was, and you know, they got Eze back, they got Olise back at the time, and then they're able to start playing some fun football. And maybe we're going to start seeing that now, but Olise would be a really tempting option for the double game week, but I just don't think he has the minutes in the legs for it.
Yeah, but then the same thing, I think Eze also has been getting subbed off at about 70-75 minutes, I think, if I'm
Yeah.
not mistaken. Olise is a very I look at Olise and I go, oh, that's a baller of a player. I want
Yeah.
like because I
So
can
fun to
see. Yeah,
watch.
exactly. That's the thing. But I think if you're looking at like minutes wise over the two games, I might slightly edge towards like Eze, and also Eze has set pieces as well. So that would also kind of put in his locker when we're trying to pick a player.
One of the other sides that has a double game week is Wolves, and we saw Cunha return 2 goals, 12 points. He was in amazing fashion the other day, and coming at the right time too, like back into the team, scoring those goals. And now there might be a lot of us out there looking for that third forward option that also acts as the enabler. 5.5 million. Do you think it's worthwhile with the fixtures, or that Arsenal fixture maybe sort of takes a bit of the gloss off?
The Arsenal fixture would take a bit of the gloss off, because like we said with Palmer against Arsenal.
Yeah.
Again, I think this Arsenal defense, you kind of had to trust them and like think that they're capable of keeping two clean sheets in the double. But then again, he is a striker. If they were to score, Wolves are at home as well. So that is something going for Wolves. I wouldn't put it past him in terms of being able to get one goal similar to like Palmer. Mm-hmm. But I guess the money fixture is the second one against Bournemouth.
Bournemouth,
yeah, that's the money fixture, because Bournemouth's defense hasn't been that great.
No, it has. I think both fixtures are at home as well, from memory.
Yes.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, but and I do believe Cunha was taking penalties earlier on in the season, but I can't remember if Sarabia was on the pitch at the time.
Yeah, I think when Sarabia is on the pitch, I think Sarabia is the pen.
He might still have them.
I'm not. Yeah, I think so. I think he'll still put rank on them. And he's also a really good player. The only problem is he hasn't been getting the service per se in the last couple of games.
Yeah.
But Cunha has been doing it for Wolves this season. Like, he's been on great form and he's been playing for Wolves. So good option, to be honest. Nothing against him.
Yeah, it is indeed. Now, for managers out there, free hitting, you told me earlier that you were recording a video before about free hits. Do you think double Arsenal defense on the free hit is a worthwhile move, or do you go a little bit baller, go a little bit more fun, maybe double Arsenal attack?
So this, I guess, depends on what style of manager you are, like what are you looking to try and get. Spoiler alert, if you do watch the free hit video, anyone who watches this, Q has gone with the double Arsenal defense.
Okay.
But if I was to pick and I think Q also is still thinking about it, of the potential of double Arsenal attack, I think the upside is there with the attack. Especially for those of you who are like chasing mini leagues, trying to claw down mini leagues and trying to even claw down rank, I think you probably want to take the upside pick in the attack. And I mean, the Arsenal defense is good, probably going to guarantee you kind of points somewhat. But it has a ceiling, whereas and a lower ceiling, I would say, compared to the potential of Arsenal's attack. So yeah, I mean, if you can get Havertz or even Odegaard, I don't mind. Q has put in some pretty good stats about Odegaard. And me as an Odegaard owner, I have double Arsenal attack in my team.
Yeah.
So as an Odegaard owner, I'm hopeful that he can deliver those numbers. But even Havertz, I like Havertz as well as an option. He's been playing really well for Arsenal the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So I would go double Arsenal attack, but then that's my style of playing. I want to chase the upside.
Yeah.
And play different. Yeah.
The upside is always much, much more fun. Yeah, it's something.
Yep.
Yeah, something I'm still trying to toy with in my mind as well. Which avenue do I? Not that I'm on a free hit chip, but I am dead ending, and getting in an extra Arsenal asset is definitely on the cards for me. But all the talk about double game weeks, one of the classic things with FPL is we get to double game weeks, we overlook the single game weekers time and time again, and often they're the ones that get the biggest scores in the game week
this
sometimes,
especially.
Yeah. Are we overlooking some of these teams? Because, I mean, your Man United at home against Sheffield United looks amazing on paper. On paper. But how many shots is Sheffield United going to be taking at Onana's goals? McBurney hat trick.
if anything, if the average is to go by, it's 20. So we've been doing this on my podcast. We've been like tracking, you know, Rob T's FPL charts that he puts out on Twitter. So we've been tracking to see like how teams have been performing. And every team since Game Week 26 has like met their XG against Manchester United. I think Sheffield United, whatever the XG is, they're going to meet it and they're going to outperform it. So you can definitely guarantee that Sheffield United are Potentially even having a chance of scoring a goal. So if you play FPL Challenge, anyone looking to get Sheffield United players, and I think they have double game points this week as well for Sheffield United, you
Yes.
probably want to get a Sheffield United player in there. Maybe a Bereton Diaz on FPL Challenge. On the actual FPL mode, I probably wouldn't look into a Sheffield United player, to be honest.
No.
But I would look into and maybe go and check Q being a United fan as well, has added a United player in there. I wouldn't rule them out potentially attacking wise.
Yeah.
We've scored about roughly two games in 2024. I think so far we've scored two games every single game so far, I think, if
Yeah.
I'm not mistaken. So I put us down for at least two goals. Whether we win or not is a different story. But yeah, Bruno Fernandes, still a good option. Garnacho, has he also gone into the doghouse?
Yeah.
I don't know. I probably lean more towards Bruno, if anything, because just because of the pens and whatnot.
Yeah, especially once we get to that time of the year when United have the fixture pile up.
Yeah.
That's Bruno mode.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. One thing to add, though, just like City, we also have the FA Cup before the Premier League game. So it's a we kind of have to keep in mind. But then Ten Hag doesn't have the luxury of rotating per se as well. So
True.
attacking players should be fine.
And yeah, Villa hosting Bournemouth one of the single game weeks. I mean, we talked before about Ollie Watkins. I mean, I'm holding him. I'm definitely not selling him for a doubler in this game week. I just think on paper that's a great fixture for Villa.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned about Bournemouth's defense being not that great.
Yeah.
I think Watkins in any given week can play like double digit haul. You can match any of the strikers. We mentioned Cunha, good option, but then Arsenal, tough game.
Yeah.
We mentioned Darwin Nunez, good games, but minutes
It's
risk.
Darwin.
Yeah, it's Darwin, exactly. And then I guess we mentioned Mateta as well. Decent team, but then Watkins can easily match if anything. So I wouldn't sell Watkins if you had to be honest.
No.
I think it's a good differential as well.
Yeah, really. I've really benefited a lot the last few game weeks because his ownership has dropped dramatically.
Yep.
And it's been quite handy, especially that 13 points he got in the previous game week. That was massive. And then of course there's City playing against Brighton. And Brighton are a funny one. They sort of feel like they're sort of on the beach without being on the beach. There's a lot of they feel very grey, if that makes any sense. Like they're not exciting. They're not getting smashed, but they're just like turning up every week. That's going through the motions. But like there's probably lots of managers out there that have someone like Phil Foden.
Mm.
I wonder if keeping hold of him might actually be beneficial once we get to this game week if he plays.
So maybe I'll start with Haaland. Haaland, I think I will play him if you have
him.
I won't be surprised if Haaland is rotated because I feel like that if, let's say, City, for example, beat Real Madrid, which they probably should because they're playing at home, if they beat Madrid and they qualify to the next round, then the turnaround between Brighton and then Game Week 35, I think it's Forest, if I'm not mistaken, and then the Champions League semi-final, it's a very tight turnaround. So I won't be surprised if Pep does is like how he did in the week before, like he rotated in both game weeks. If he rotates again here in like the Brighton game and also the game week 35 as well. So I think rotation is going to hit. I just don't know who's going to get rotated, and we won't know as well because 34 would have started kicked off. So he's not going to rotate against Chelsea. Cup final is going to put his strong squad out. So then it's the question about the Brighton and the Forest games where rotation will hit. So I'll start. Haaland. Foden is a bit more of an interesting one. I think if you have a wild card left and if you have no value stored on Foden, I would sell Foden potentially and try and get in a double game big player if you're dead ending. And those free hitting, obviously, they don't need to bother about Foden.
Yeah.
For those who are on a no wild card left and not even free hitting and have Foden, that is a bit more of a tricky one. That's where you go, okay. Do you want to do a hokey cokey and sell and buy back? I don't know with that one. That is a flip a coin and see how your squad is like situation.
I've got some thinking to do because, I'm really hoping Foden plays. Let's hope the leaks are true.
Yeah, fair enough. I, that's the thing, right? It's a tough one because I expect rotation to hit in both games. I just don't know which one he'll get rotated for. That's the thing.
Yeah, I'm all eyes on that Real Madrid team sheet when it drops on, what is it, Thursday morning for us, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so all attention there. Well, that was a really good discussion there. But what we'll do now is we'll take a quick break, and on the other side, we're going to preview the rest of Double Game Week 34, give our Goodwill punting picks, and also, oh captain, my captain. Okay, welcome back, managers. And yeah, game week 34. So it is a later deadline. So we had one good week where we actually had 9:30 kickoffs for us here on the Eastern Seaboard. And no, we're back out to all the fixtures kicking off at midnight because of the FA Cup games, I think. So which is poo.
Yeah, I know. We get the short end of the stick every time here. So, I mean, I don't mind it. It's not like a very, very late deadline as well.
True.
And I guess you get that extra little couple of hours, to like, enjoy your weekend before actually thinking about some FPL.
Before we ruin it all with a silly game where we choose players to get us
I know.
imaginary points.
I know. Indeed, here we are.
But we wouldn't
It's a
have
fantasy
it.
game, you know?
We wouldn't have it any other way, would we?
I know.
Okay, well, one of the first fixtures up is Luton against Brentford. So yeah, we said Tony's a no-no. I
Yep.
feel like we're probably already, got rid of a lot of our Luton players there. So it doesn't really feel
Yeah.
like a FPL relevant fixture.
I've got Reggie on, but he
Of
sat on my
course you
bench.
do.
Yes, he sat on my bench because I do think Luton will score this fixture. So FPL wise, not really irrelevant per se.
I
So
suppose
I'll
because,
take
yeah, there's.
whatever Reguilón points is on the bench, whatever it is. Yeah.
Handy if you were bench boosting.
Yeah. Unless Branthwaite is injured, Rico Lewis doesn't play, and then I'm just stuck with I have to play Reguilón. Then obviously I'll take my Reguilón points.
Riggy on Paul in cover, as long as it's not a red card like you did in
Yes,
the
please, no.
game week
Please, no,
29.
no, no. We do not speak of that game anymore.
we don't speak about it. Sheffield United against Burnley. Now, Sheffield United do have a double game week, but I think unless you are a diehard Sheffield United fan or you're a relative of Ben Brereton Diaz, you're probably not looking at any assets here.
Only on FPL Challenge and not
Just the
on the
challenge.
normal. No,
I gotta
not on the
remember to
normal.
do that. I've forgotten the last 2 game weeks. I c
See,
completely forget.
I wouldn't be thinking about it too much, but I managed to convince my friends to kind of like play it because it's just a shorter form now. Last couple of
Yeah.
weeks, I was like, okay, let's play it. And it's a new challenge every week, so it's kind of like interesting as well. So I was like, okay, cool, let's just do that. And we're playing that. So yeah, only on FPL Challenge, not on the normal game mode. Even a
Mate.
free hit here, I wouldn't. Would I even think of shit? No, I probably wouldn't think of
I
shit
don't
here.
think that you wouldn't really need it for budget.
No, you wouldn't. Yeah.
So
So
I think
probably not, no.
no, probably
Because
not.
it's a mid if he was a forward, maybe, but he's a midfielder as well, so yeah, no.
Of course. But yeah, I mean, but from a league perspective, huge game, like massive six
Yes,
pointer
big.
here.
Okay. Yeah,
You sort
yeah,
of feel
yeah.
like the loser of this game, like we can just officially say they are done this season.
I think they're both done
I
anyways,
think
but
they're both
anyways,
done,
yeah.
do you?
Yeah.
Sorry, listen to this. If you're supporting either of those sides. Anyway, Wolves Arsenal, the first of the double for these two sides. So the fixture at Wolves helps being there. We're obviously going to be hoping for some Ryan Aitnari news. Now, Gary O'Neill told us heading into game week 33, he was going to be part of the squad, which a lot of us sort of thought, oh, that's great. He's going to be at least on the bench. But no, he probably just sat on the bus with the team and handed out the
That's it.
lollies.
Didn't make the 18. I mean, if
Oh,
you have him, I think you play him,
yeah.
and just hope for the best, right? If you don't have him, you don't buy him. Simple
Yeah.
as that.
Yeah. I suppose the advantage here, because it's the double, is that the first fixture is the hardest one anyway. That's not
Yes.
really the
And the money
fixture we
fixture is the
want.
next one. Yep.
Yeah. It's not the one we want. So hopefully, if it's going to be a case of maybe 30 minutes and, 70 odd minutes plus, then hopefully it goes
Yeah,
in that
just
favor.
think of like 2 points in the first game, and then your expectations are in the second game.
Let's hope so. Everton Forest, so another one of the naughty financial teams this season. So 3 points
Battle of
plus,
the deductions.
yeah, better, 3 points on the board, and also whoever wins their court cases could be more deductions. Who knows? So
Yep.
It should be the loser has to get the other team's points deduction, like make it really interesting.
I mean, a wrestling match. Fair enough. It's like a 3 points here anyways. So
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had Brandwit for this. This was the money game for me. And now he's obviously kind of flagged. I don't know how bad that flag is. We'll have to wait and see from Sean Dyche. If Brandwit is fit, I'm starting him. If Sean Dyche comes and says, okay, he's going to miss the Forest game, then I have to think about it. Do I really want to play him in the Liverpool game? Probably not. Then I might actually start Rico Lewis instead. And have Brandwit maybe for like second sub in terms of defense. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, we saw Michael Keane make an appearance this morning for Everton. He just, that's how desperate they are at the moment that he actually got a run out.
But like Brandwit is their best defender.
Yeah, he is easily.
That's the thing. So it's a big loss for Everton. But we'll see. I hope he's fit because I'd like to have that like points against Forest.
Yeah.
But then again, Chris Wood has been on form. Morgan Gibbs-White has been on form. If only they did this in free hit 29, but they didn't. But here we are. So, I mean, will be interesting, but will be very low scoring.
Maybe Branthwaite's flagged because he's got a hurt feelings after Cole Palmer nutmegged him this morning for that first goal.
He retired.
Yeah, he's just walked off the pitch. But then we've got Aston Villa Bournemouth. So one of, you know, Villa's games, which is just a single game week. But on paper, great fixture for Villa assets here. Maybe also a good fixture for someone like Dominic Solanke because Villa aren't exactly watertight at the back. I mean, they did get that clean sheet away at Arsenal.
But they did give up a few chances as well.
Yeah, they did. And you sort of feel like Solanke just maybe needs half a sniff of one of those chances because he's been in terrific form this season as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he scored against United. I mean, at this point, everyone scores against United. But like the few games before that, he didn't really perform like in terms of goals. But then overall, he's another one like just a few goals short of like even being in the talk of the goal.
Yeah.
He's like 17 goals.
17 goals.
Yeah.
This season.
And everyone else is on 20. So it's not too far. So if he scores even a brace here, he's in straight into that conversation.
Really good idea. We saw Semenyo was injured for last game week. That's a big issue because there's so much goes through him.
Yes, that might actually impact Solanke as well as of this thing because we saw Unal come on and he is like a PO on number 9, so he's not going to like move anywhere else. So he's going to occupy where Solanke operates. So that doesn't really help per se as a Solanke owner. But if Semenyo's fit, I think for free hit players, maybe it might be a consideration to have Solanke in. If Semenyo is not fit, then maybe you could try and risk not going without him as well.
Yeah, we've also seen Justin Kluivert hitting a bit of form recently too, sort of playing in a little bit more central and advanced with some of those injuries to like Semenyo. But Sinisterra, he just can't seem to stay fit either at the moment. So, but there's sort of, I think they feel more like enabling ability players.
Yeah.
And you might not need that this game week.
Yep. Fair enough. It's only Solanke I would look. And then if you have Bournemouth players, at this point, anyone who has Bournemouth players, you just keep the players you have unless you're free hitting, then it's a different story.
That's right. Crystal Palace, West Ham. I think so. West Ham have Bayer Leverkusen in the Europa League now. I think they have to overturn a 2-0 lead that Leverkusen have, which is going to be a really tough ask, especially as they're still celebrating. I mean, they might still be drunk after wrapping up the Bundesliga.
They're still unbeaten, aren't they?
They are still unbeaten, yeah.
They probably want to maintain that if they can.
I think so. They're on for a bit of a treble themselves. But it's not like – it's funny because 2-0 is not exactly a game where you can just throw in the towel.
Yeah.
So West Ham still have to put out their biggest team there. And we saw the effects of the Europa League in the previous game week because Fulham just overran them.
Yeah. Is Bowen fit or is he –
I can't remember if he was on the bench or not.
I went
completely blank.
I'm just going to check Sofa score.
Good old Sofa score.
Yeah.
Bowen doesn't really feel like FPL relevant at the moment. It feels more like a sell.
No, not FPL wise, but for the Europa League. I mean, the game against the league. So he wasn't on the bench. So I
No.
don't know if he is fit for West Ham, then they have a better chance in the like in the Europa League. But otherwise, they're like kind of out. And FPL wise, I'm just like Palace defense good. If Bowen is not fit, even better for Palace defense.
Yeah, a fully rested Palace on the back of that Liverpool win and West Ham licking their wounds probably from a Europa League exit. So, yeah, interesting one there. Yeah, the case for Palace SS just got a little bit stronger. Fulham Liverpool. So the first of Liverpool's double, a favourable fixture away at Fulham, but I never know what type of Fulham we get every single week. There's weeks where I think, oh, this looks like a Fulham fixture, and then they've just been dropping points. And then the times where I think, nah, I don't fancy Fulham, and then
I'll
they
just pull up
perform.
something. I mean, it's a tough game to call, I would say. Like you said, like what Fulham team is going to appear? It's hard to tell. And then what Liverpool team is going to appear? They've been like on the down ever since points dropped against United, points dropped against Palace, 3-0 down against Atlanta. We don't know what team Klopp will put out for that as well. Will that even go to extra time? They're capable of like overhauling a 3-0 lead. They've done it
Yeah, they've
before.
done it. Yeah, they can easily do that, but whether they do it, I mean, imagine if that game goes 120 minutes and then penalty shootout.
They'll be on fumes at that point when they get to Fulham.
I think that's probably one of the most like FPL relevant Europa League games, if that makes any sense. Like the team that Klopp puts out for that and the minutes in the legs, that's going to determine a lot of thinking, especially for, someone like myself and everyone else out there thinking about which Liverpool assets they want, I think.
Yep, indeed.
Tricky one. Arsenal Chelsea, huge one for Chelsea. They're trying to stop Arsenal winning the league. Arsenal, though, just hoping to kickstart, their title campaign. But, ooh, 5 a.m. Wednesday morning. Arsenal double
We will be up.
defense.
I mean, we touched on Arsenal's double defense and the possibility of benching Palmer for this week. It's a tough game. And like I said before, I won't be surprised if Palmer does score from a penalty or something. But you kind of have to trust the Arsenal defense to continue the performances they've been putting up so far.
Yeah, I can't see Chelsea keeping a clean sheet in this game.
Oh, no. If they
No.
do, then Arsenal might as well just say we lost the title against Chelsea.
Yeah. Well, look, dreams do come true, Ryan.
Sure you won't let any Arsenal fan forget about it for the rest of their life.
No, I won't. But yeah, Wolves Bournemouth. So as far as both teams go with the double, like it's a really good fixture for both teams, which doesn't really make much sense, but I suppose it sort of does because it's one of those fixtures where any result just like makes a lot of sense.
It's the money fixture for both teams, I guess. At least for both strikers, like for Cunha and for Solanke, this is the fixture you want them for. Maybe even for the defenders, like you want Ed Nouri if he's fit for this fixture. Bournemouth, on the other hand, I don't really know if you want any of the defenders. Maybe Senesi, like he's been two assists in the last game against United. Maybe he could get something against you. Neto, on the other hand, not really sure. I don't know. I don't expect much from Neto, to be honest.
Jeez. Yeah, that's a tricky one because yeah, you'd be like, I want Solanke to score, but I've got Ryan out Nouri in my defense. Like,
It's fine. If he's playing right wing, Ennory could get an attacking return. So
true.
goals galore.
Yeah, concede, but yeah, get some attacking chairs. I like it. Crystal Palace, Newcastle. So Newcastle were so impressive against Spurs, but we've seen recently Newcastle at home is a little bit different to Newcastle on the road, where they can be a little bit more leaky. And yeah, that squad, it is literally running on fumes at the moment. Bit of a tough ask traveling back down for this fixture, do you think?
This one is a bit more tricky to call. We've seen Newcastle score quite a number of goals, but at the same time, I've just mentioned about how Palace's defense is pretty good. So could be a low scoring game. I won't be surprised if Palace come away with a 1-0 or something in this one. So, as someone who's probably thinking about Dean Henderson, I'm hoping it is like a 1-0 or something.
But also on paper, a good fixture for someone like Isak, who has just been in absolutely red hot form.
He's one of the first names on my wild card for 35. But he's been that player, like anyone who wildcarded came at 30 or 31 and went for him, you benefited significantly over. I guess he's another single game maker that we didn't mention,
Yeah,
that we
true.
probably should consider, of playing if you were even free hitting or not free hitting. Really on form. I can't see why you wouldn't drop him, why you would drop him if you had him, to be honest.
Yeah, I would definitely play him. Yeah, I know. Yeah, there's no way I would sell someone like him for a double game weaker. But Merseyside Derby, Everton, Liverpool. Now, I talked about Chelsea probably wanting to beat Arsenal to stop them winning the league. Everton will be doing everything in their powers to try and stop Liverpool. But I find with this fixture over the years, it always seems to be Liverpool winning.
Yeah, that's the thing. I probably still expect Liverpool to win.
Yeah,
But
same.
isn't this the final game at Everton's home park between Liverpool and them?
Yeah, probably would be. Yeah, the
Before
last,
they move to like a new
yeah, their new
stadium.
stadium.
Yeah. So maybe there's something a bit more extra in this game. I don't know. But then again, it depends on whether Branthwaite is fit or not, because he's a vital part for the defense. This game might have an impact on captaincy consideration, I feel like.
True.
Potentially.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, the second of Liverpool's double. Again, we don't know what's going to happen in the Europa League. Like if Salah starts on the bench, then I think it's a safe bet to give him the armband for this. But if he plays and ends up playing 120 minutes, I'd be a little
Bit
bit
pushy.
iffy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, tricky. Your boys United against Sheffield United, the as you just said, the money fixture for United this game week.
Which United?
Which United will show up?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Sheffield United will get about 20 shots this game. Manchester United, like Bruno Fernandes, I don't think you should collect them because penalties, and we've scored two goals in like every game 2024, so it's a possibility that we score. I just don't know about the win or not. That's a different story.
Yeah.
But I guess this is a good game for those of us who are wildcarding in 35 to kind of get an idea of like where we
Yeah.
want to finalize our United players in terms of what, because even people are looking at Højlund as an option, and I was initially looking at it, but now I've cooled off on it because it's kind of gone off form and he's not getting the service as well
Yeah,
again.
it just seems to be the balls aren't feeding to him properly.
Yeah, so I've cooled down on that as well, a bit more. So a bit hard to tell exactly. It's more of a scouting mission for me, trying to find out which one I want for 35.
Yeah.
That's how I'm approaching this game.
And will Garnacho be in the team or still on the naughty step?
Yeah, I think
liking
he might just
tweets.
yeah he might start. But he's been getting subbed off a bit more earlier recently, so
Okay.
we kind of had to wait and see on that.
Yeah, a lot of scouting mission there for United. And then, yeah, the final fixture, which is next Friday morning, long way, 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 Brighton Man City. So, interesting to see what Haaland's EO will be for this game week, because there might also be a lot of people out there. I mean, a lot of free hitters out there might not actually be playing Haaland.
Yeah, possible. Or might have him as one of the only single game makers potentially. So
Potentially.
I
It
think
would be nice to
he's
get some gains from Haaland for once.
yeah, I think we might. So I think his EO was like 80 to like about 80% like a couple game weeks ago when
Okay.
like people didn't have him. I think he
Yeah.
might go back to that potentially. If it goes lower than that, then yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I think we mentioned about at least I mentioned about rotation. We'll see whether Haaland plays this one or whether he plays the Forest one.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tricky. Jeez, they got so many fishes all getting compressed at the moment. City is absolute headache for Pep at the moment. But who knows? It depends what the team sheet is as well.
Yes, exactly. We'll have to wait and see. You know, the leakers, even though the deadline has passed, might give us something.
Well, I don't think we're going to get any leaks for that game, considering it's on Friday. Foden starts. You know if we're
For
seeing
game
those
week
on up.
35.
Yeah, for game. Yeah, you know if we start seeing those now that There's something fishy going on. But anyway, now it's time for Goodwill Punting, where we look at a differential for the game week. So yeah, last week, Andrew went with Sergio Reguilón. Like you, he was in your team. So 8 points for Sergio. I went with Brian Mbeumo. Unfortunately, he blanked 3 points for Brian. But Ryan, I've asked you to come up with a Goodwill Punting pick for this game week. So who are you going with?
I've hyped up Palace enough that I've gone with the Palace player. I've gone with Eze. 6 million, 4.5% owned when I checked
Ooh.
today morning. So like I mentioned, set pieces, and then again, Palace mids are on people's mind. I would have gone for I think Olise is like 0.6% or something owned, but
Wow.
it's just the minutes is a slight
Yeah.
problem. So that's why I've gone with Eze.
Great pick. Really good pick. Yeah, he's been looking so good recently. And it's such a shame the last few seasons we've seen Eze, like his footballing career stop start, stop start, stop start, because he keeps picking up these injuries and then we barely ever see him play with Elise at the same time as well. But yeah, when they're on the pitch together, it's pretty special. So pretty hard to argue with that choice. Now I'm going with the man up front for Crystal Palace, Jean-Philippe Mateta, 5 million, 2.0%. So yeah, really good performance against Liverpool. He had that goal line clearance from Robbo denying him a goal there. But yeah, he's looked pretty good the last few weeks. And I don't know if it's just that the Glasner way of trying to play football at Crystal Palace is starting to sink in. But I mean, the lead up to their goal the other day was amazing. Like, even Klopp was going, wow, on the sidelines, because I think it was like 20 or 21 passes altogether. And it looked like something off the training ground. So, like, clearly they're starting to enjoy what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good team, end of the day.
Yeah.
And they've been coached well. So, I mean, both of us have gone for Palace players. Let's hope for some like good returns as well from these players as well.
Yeah, I gotta back up what I'm thinking. Maybe I do have to go with
Maybe.
Mateta.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm most likely going with Eze. So I put my money where my mouth is. Or my mouth where my money is. I don't know. Yeah.
I might have to try and get my budgets. I might have to do some Manchester City like financial doping in my FPL side to try and make things work here. I'll cop the points deduction next season, like Everton and Forest. anyway, it's time for Oh Captain, My Captain. Top three captains. Who are you going with for top three picks this game week?
So I've gone with Saka first,
Saka
and that goes,
first.
yeah, that's gone back to my start of when you were asking me like how what my play style is when I'm chips looking at mini leagues and whatnot, and it's mainly due to mini leagues. I'm
Yep.
chasing the mini league. If I was not chasing the mini league, I might have gone for Salah, and I think a lot of people are going to go for Salah as he's going to be the popular one.
Yeah.
I need someone different shot. Now, the one negative is when you go on a double game week as a differential captain, it could hurt a bit more because the variance is even more open than a single game week. So that could backfire, but it could also reward me pretty well. So I don't know. We'll see how we go. But I don't mind it because I think the fixtures, a home game and an away game, it's not too bad, I would say. And I think it's a decent set of fixtures compared to Liverpool's one. So I'm going for Saka and then Salah second, and I've gone for Kai Havertz as a differential third captaincy punt.
Favorite guy.
Yeah.
Interesting. He Havertz would be the fun, like, second Arsenal attacker in a side. Like,
Yes.
I've tried a few tinkering with my planning for this game. We're trying to see if I can get that to work. But yeah, it sort of comes down to the decision of do I want, yeah, Diaz, Eze, or Havertz in the side, and then that impacts the rest of the decision making. But yeah, that Bayern Munich game is so important. I just
Yeah, that's the thing. That could change where we go as well. Same thing with like Liverpool and Atalanta, depending on how far they go into like whether even. We didn't mention it, but both City and Arsenal are also level on goals, so they could also go 120 minutes plus in their games. So
True.
I'd have to wait and see.
There might be a lot of football in a lot of those leagues. Now I'm going with Salah as the top pick with those. I mean, they are away fixtures, Fulham and Everton, but at least that Everton one is pretty close by, I suppose. Saka, vice captain. And yeah, I went with Eze as the third choice. I think, yeah, like you talked about before, you talked him up with the set pieces and everything else, but two home fixtures in a game week against probably a very leggy and tired West Ham and a inconsistent Newcastle. So I think there's some good calls there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I mentioned Isaiah is like a goodwill punting, and we have also spoken about Crystal Palace. I mean, it's going to be very close. I think UCL games might impact where we go, and
Yeah.
also I guess ranks and what you're chasing could also impact.
True. Yeah, it depends how you're playing the game. Are you playing mini leagues? Are you playing overall? If you're doing overall rank, you're probably going solo. If you're trying to, yeah, like you said, go for something a bit different and try and get a charge on a mini league. So yeah, different, all different horses for courses. Now, heading into game week 34, your bus team, have you got any potential trans have you done any transfers yet, or you're waiting to?
No, I'm waiting till the European fixtures are
Yeah,
done, just
smart.
in case some injury happens. At this point, I'm not too worried about money as a problem, and I'm gonna be selling Salah in game week 35 anyway, so not worried about that as well. So just waiting to see if any injuries happen to key players before making moves. If nothing happens, I'm looking at moving Areola and Garnacho out for Henderson and either Eze or Olise, most likely Eze, since I've now put him in my goodwill punting.
Yeah, because yeah, who's your other goalkeeper? Is it was it pick?
Dubravka.
Oh, Dubravka, that's right. I mean, it's not the worst fixture, Dubravka.
True, but that's true. I mean, but I could go if Brandford is out, use that second free transfer on like Brandford out to another defender. But I'm already tripled up on Liverpool and Arsenal. And then I guess the next defender you would want is either you go for the Palace defender in like a Munoz or I go Ain't Nouri, but Ain't Nouri, we don't know about his minutes and whatnot. So that's why I'm like, okay, maybe I'll just go Henderson and just risk Brandt, see how he is. I don't know. We'll see.
So that's what you're too for. You're not tempted to do a third transfer, take a hit, or
No, because like I have Darwin up front. He is going to be a problem. I don't think he'll play. He might start one game potentially. But I won't be surprised if he gets like less than 100 minutes combined as well in the double. And the other two strikers are Solanke and Haaland. And I don't think I want to sell any of them as well. And then my midfield
true.
is stuck with like, I'll have Eze and then Salah, Saka, and Odegaard. So no real transfers anywhere else, to be honest.
Okay, no, that makes a lot of sense. Myself, I'm thinking of taking the minus four, so and using three transfers. So yeah, Sun will go, Muniz from Fulham will go, and probably Malo Gusto might go as well. So I've sort of been toying around with, an Arsenal defender, like someone like maybe Eze in the midfield and Darwin up front, but I can't. The ideal scenario would be like Darwin up front, Luis Diaz in the middle, and Ben White in defense, but I can't. I don't have
Too
enough
expensive.
budget for that. So one of those spots will have to be my second choice. So whether it's like a.
Maybe Mateta
Yeah,
instead
well,
of Darwin
that's
Nunez.
where the Mateta or even Cunha maybe, because he's cheap. But I think that the Palace pick is a little has a little bit more upside than the Wolves one, because that Arsenal
Yeah,
fixture
the
is
Arsenal
really
fixture.
tricky. So yeah, maybe a case, maybe Mateta, but yeah, I'm just trying to weigh out what's more fun, Eze or Mateta. I think Eze is just a little bit more fun.
Okay, so you want to go like Ben White, Luis Diaz, and
Or
Mateta, or Darwin, Eze, and Ben White?
yeah, possibly that option. Yeah. Anyway, something for me.
Something.
A lot's gonna come out of the wash after these European fixtures, I think.
Exactly.
I'll
Something's
let
got to
that
happen.
make the decision for me.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Put it off as long as possible. Anyway, it's time for the FPL Signet Podcast League update. So, yes, Mahesh Sharma still leading in the league, 2,119 points, followed by Matthew Bae, who has jumped back into second spot there. Drew Potter's dropped down to third. The two of them just spot. Swap positions every single game. We friend of the show Ashley Hubin, Kane in Diaz. We know him as FPL Crisis in the Australian community there. He's moved up to fourth, and Mark Prestupa sitting in fifth there. Also, Serge Ingbeso is equal fifth as well. So a bit of a fight there in the top five. Managers of the game week. Good friends of ours, great people from the FPL community. So we had Charlie from the FPL Addict Show, and Mira, we know her as FPL Mez and Off the Cuff from a YouTube channel, both with 100 points this game week, which is just
Insane.
insane. Triple figure score in a single game week is incredible. So Charlie's side, I'm going to go with his first. So you had Petrovic in goals, Shah with the 13 points, Gabriel, Gusto, Son, Gordon, 17 points, which is very tasty. Palmer, of course, Salah, Muniz, Solanke, and Haaland, captain. Now Mira, her side, she had Neto in goals for 0 points. Gabriel in her side, 0 points. But Sergio Reguilón with the 8. Vardiol, which we talked about before, 12 points. Saka 2, Palmer 26, Son 1, Gordon 17, and also had Isak with the 12 points, along with the Haaland captain and Salah points. So incredible. What's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players that hit double figures in her side. So, yeah, incredible achievement. So happy to see them there. Now, Andrew has jumped up. He's on the precipice of top 10. He's sitting in 11th at the moment. So he is very close to breaking into that top 10. I have moved up to 30th. And Ryan, you're 26th in our league.
Nick and Nick. Yeah, I know.
So close.
I think I was looking at the cup fixtures. I think the FPL SideNet Cup has kicked off. And I did win my round this week.
Yeah, I won too.
Into the next round. Yeah, exactly. So we're both into the next one. Here we go.
It's all about the cups from now on for our football teams and our FPL teams.
Exactly.
Here we go. Cup March. We're off to Emily. But look, before we finish up, I just want to say thanks again for joining me tonight. It was such a really good discussion, especially with such a big game week coming up too. There was no way I could have done this by myself, and no one better I would have wanted in the chair than you tonight. So amazing you could fit us in between the 17 videos and podcasts you're going to be doing this week.
I mean, I'll always have time for the Australian FPL community, to be honest. And I mean, sorry for anyone who's listening. I've taken so long. I've just been rambling. So if this has been your record longest episode, I do apologize. It's been a joy. So thank you for having me on.
Oh, awesome. No, it was a pleasure to have you. So Twitter and Instagram follow. So that's at FPL SideNet on Instagram and Twitter. Give Andrew a follow at FPL _ Point Break, and give Ryan a follow at Ryan _MS28. And make sure you like and subscribe the videos on his YouTube channel, Football Chat Box. You can find it there. So start watching, get on board. The man is the busiest man in the world of FPL.
It helps the YouTube algorithm. So like, subscribe, comment.
Like and subscribe, baby. Like and subscribe.
I will add as well, for anyone who's listening to this pod, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcast, I think on Spotify, you can click the 5-star button. So make sure you do that as well for this podcast here.
There we go. Always hustling.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us tonight, listeners. And thanks again to Ryan. And good luck to everyone out there for Double Game Week 34. It's going to be a big one. And let your defensive sheets be clean and your arrows green. See you, managers.